Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We're holding five lines from the top of the Amud. We're in the middle of the line. It says, V'lifreich, why don't we ask the following pircha ma l'kloi hakerem? What is this referring to? Let us go back for a moment to yesterday's Amud Beis, Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara, as you recall, yesterday gave four or five different makoyrois, that the din of basa b'chalav is not only a din of bishul, but also a din of iser achila and iser hanah. In particular, we're focusing now on Isi ben Yehuda. Isi ben Yehuda is halfway down yesterday's Amud Beis. Tanya, we have a braisa, Isi ben Yehuda oimer. Minayin lebasa b'chalav she'asr. How do I know that it's asr ba'achila? Bishul, of course, it says in the Torah three times, le'savasha. How do I know you're not allowed to eat basa b'chalav nemarkan? It says over here in the pasuk of Bishul Basar B'cholav, Ki Am Kodesh Atal Hashem Alekecha Loi Sevasho Gedi B'chalev Imoi. So it says in the pasuk Kodesh Menem Lahalon, and Legabe the Hilchos Treifa. It says Va'anche Kodesh Tion Li Uvasa Basar Treifa Loi Sechelu La Kelev Tashlichun Oisai. So here it says Kodesh. There it says Kodesh. I learn Exeder Shava Mal Halon Asur, just like by Tarfus. The Torah tells us, "Va'anshe kodesh tiyon li yivasa basada treifa loisoi chelu." Afkan here too, by the din of basa b'cholav, osur ba'achila. Then the ele ba'achila, I learned gzeder shava that it's osur ba'achila. Ba'anominayin, how do I know hanah? Amris kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? From orla. Umadach orla shloi nevde bo'aveira. A person plants grape seeds, orange seeds, apple seeds, whatever, to go and make a new tree, or in the case of grape seeds, a new vineyard. Did he do anything wrong? Chas v'shalom. That's what you're supposed to do, to go and grow fruit trees. You have to go and plant them. But for the first 3 years, it's going to be orla. Okay? But asura bahano. The Torah told us that it's asur bahano. Basur b'cholav shenev de bo'aveira. It didn't show asur bahano. Where there is an Aveda, you're over on the Loi Sevashel Gedi. There's a Chavad and Avada that the product of that Bishul Bas B'chol will be Osir Bahana. Very, very good Kal B'chol. But then Gemara asks a Pircha. Mala Orla Shekein Lei Hoysa Lo Shasa Koysher. You know why Orla is Osir Bahana? Because Orla never had a minute of Shasa Koysher from the first moment that the seeds were planted and the trees started growing and the fruit started growing. It was always osir from the very beginning. That's why it's osir bana. Masha enki, when you're talking about basa b'cholav, until 5 minutes ago, before I went and cooked the two together, each one was perfect. The basar was the best hashkocha, chalak, glad kosher, lemahadrin. The milk was cholav Yisrael with three hashkochas. Everything was great. Unfortunately, now that you cook them together, so it had a shasa kosher, so therefore maybe it's mutter bana. And the Gemara said, "No, no, this can't be done because chametz v'pesach yechiyach. Chametz v'pesach shows you that this, that it had no shasa kosher, is leimala v'leimoyed. Because chametz v'pesach yechiyach is leishasa kosher until 5 minutes before, not before yontif, but at least before 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever on erev yontif, it had a shasa kosher. You could eat the chametz, not a problem. Now it became pesach." So therefore, it had a shasa koish of asur bana. We know that isur of chametz is not only an isur of achil, it's isur of bana. So then the Gemara asked, but I can't learn chametz of Pesach, etc. So the Gemara ultimately says, you know what? Kloi hakerem yechichu. Let's learn from kloi hakerem. What's kloi hakerem? That if you mix together, for instance, seeds of chita together with chartzanim, seeds of grapes, and you planted them together, what's the halach over there? Ain onish karis, there's no din of karis, but basar b'hano. So the same thing will apply to us by basar b'cholav, that it's asur b'hano. So the Gemara concludes at this point, let us learn the din of basar b'cholav from the din of kloi haker. Now let's jump to our Gemara here on Kuf Tes Zayin Omid Aleph, five lines from the top. Frey Gemara v'lifreich, let us ask a pircha on your limut of basar b'cholav from kloi hakerem, the exact same pircha that we asked by Arla. What was the pircha? Ma l'kloi hakerem shekein lei hoisle en sha'asa koisher. Koyker never had a shas koyshe from the very beginning. And so therefore, maybe that's the reason why it's asa banot. Masha ain't came the case of Basa B'chalov that had a shas koyshe. Maybe it's mutter banot. So mamish the same kash we asked on Ola, we can ask on Kloya Kerem. Says the Gemara, no, you're wrong. Omra vada barahavaz lisameris Kloya Kerem, ikron ne'esar, v'hoislen shas koysher. Koyremash Rosha. What does the Gemara mean to say? To go and put together Kloy HaKerem, you have to take the seeds of, for instance, Chita or Seora, and you have to go and take the grape seeds from grapes, and you put them into the ground. Before those seeds took root, says Mechitin, before they became enrooted, which the Gemara says elsewhere takes at least 3 days, might take longer, if they're old seeds, whatever. Until that point, those seeds are absolutely, totally kosher. Before the hashrasha, you can go and take those seeds out and plant them somewhere else, and you won't have a problem. So it had a shasa kosher. When did it become osir? It only became osir when it became mushrish, when it became enrooted in the ground. So don't go and tell me malik lo yakerim, shekein li hoislin shasa kosher. They had a shasa kosher. When? Those few days before the hashrasha. Okay, so therefore we have defeated the pircha. Frey Timora, not so quickly. Masu Rab Shmaya Bar Zeira, Hamavir Otis Nokov Bekerem, Em Hoysef Masayim Osir, Hoysef Inle, Hoysef Loi. We have an established kerem. This vineyard has been there for the last 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, and now someone is walking through or traveling through the kerem, holding an otzitz nokov. Otzitz nokov, as you know, means a flower pot. But in this case, it had a hole on the bottom. And our Gemara doesn't go into it, but the Rav says, that's the Bar Tanura, says on that Mishnah that it's talking about that the hole was at least kimoitzi shoyrish, large enough for a shoyrish of anything that was growing in that otzitz to go through and eventually to hit the land and grow in the land. In other words, it was a relatively large hole in the otzitz so that roots could get through, theoretically, to go and have yanika from the soil. Anyway, so first is walking through that otzitz nokev, he's walking through the kerem, holding the otzitz nokev in his hand. How long is he doing this? If he's going to go in and out very quickly, no problem. But what happens if he sticks around there in the kerem? Because he finds someone there and he wants to start discussing with him the daf. He's going to start asking him about dam mevushel. He's going to ask him what's the makar for basa b'cholav, that it's asa b'chila, asa b'no. And he's going to stick around in the kerem for a bit of a while. Sim hoisif mosayim, if it grew up to an extra 1/200th, what does that mean? We're talking about the zroim and or the kerem, the grapes there in the vineyard, if they grow an additional 200th, which is a very, very small percentage, 1/100th is 1%, 1/200th is a half of 1%. So if as a result of walking in the kerem, he stayed around long enough that, for instance, the grapes or the vines or whatever, able to have an additional half a percent of additional growth, then it's going to become osir als kloy hakerem. Hoysef inli, hoysef loy. What happens is the shear of 200? So Rashi tells us, as we know from other Gemaras, that by truma it's you have 100th, but by kloy hakerem, by kelaim, it's 1/200th. The Gemara learns it either from Esmachto or the Rabbanan, regardless. Anyway, but that's the shear. So if you have 200 times the isser of kloy hakerem in the pre-existing kerem that was there from before, so then it becomes bottle, just like something becomes bottle b'roi v'b'shishim, it'll become bottle b'200. However, if it was moisif, more than a half of 1%, more than 1/200th, then it doesn't become bottle. Since it doesn't become bottle, it's going to go and make all of the kerem osir al tzedin of kli hakerem. Okay, so what do I see from all of this? I see that the issa that we're talking about is from the growth which is already there in the kerem, which is not surprising. Sorry?
Not the wheat in the pot. You don't put it in the ground, but you're perforating, Bob. You're walking with it.
No question. If he's walking 1, 2, 3, he's in and out, it's not going to grow one additional 200th. We're talking about that once he was there in the Kerem, it was nice and sunny, and it was a nice day, and the Kerem was nice shade, and he was talking to his friend, and they were going over the daf. When they finished with the daf, maybe they were talking about Trump or other very important issues. But anyway, he was there long enough that it should grow an additional 1 out of 200, and Barry has a point.
I would think you can put the plant in the ground.
If he held the plant in his hand,
it was perforated.
There's
a hole on the bottom.
Steve, as if it's actually planted. But are you talking about being nesar the contents of the usus knuckle, or being nesar of the kerem?
It's actually going to be both. But the principal concern is the kerem, because the kerem is a big kerem, and this is
a larger asset. Okay.
Exactly. But ultimately, because that's kloy kerem, means the combination, the merger of the two. So just like you're telling Bill, we're going to deem the flower pot as if I planted it in the ground. So now I have kelaim in the kerem. The two are mixing together. Anyway, bottom line is you have to see whether it's a 1/200th growth. Now the question is, didn't you tell me a moment ago that we don't just look at the new growth of the 200th? We look at the original seeds that were planted. And how now you're talking about that we're looking at the existing kerem and the additional growth of the 200, so we're not referring to the seeds. So make up your mind, when does Kloya Kerem begin and end? Does it begin at the very outset when it's mushrush in the ground, which is what the Gemara said a moment ago? Or no, now it's talking about you have an existing Kerem, and now it grows an additional 200, then it becomes Osir. So what's the story? That's the Gemara's kasha. Omer Abay.
Both qualifications, if it's mushrush. Then it's Kloy Kerem, or if it grows 1/200.
Brother Shai, you are mechavin to Abaya's teretz. You and Abaya are in the same category. Omer Abaya, Trey Kroy Ksivi. We have two separate.
Does Abaya know how to lane?
Does he know how to lane as well as Brother Shai, or Shai lane this morning?
He lane today also. He
bought
the minion, he arranged the place.
Abaya was also considered to be a spitz of Torah and Chesed in his day and age. Because of that he had greater Enriches Yomim than Rabba or Rava, because not only was Oisik but Torah, but he was also Oisik and Chesed. So just like our brother Shai. Am I right, Barry? Yeah, he was 60 years, and the other one was only 40 years.
He was also a coin.
Who was also a coin?
Abaya, he's B'nai Eli from B'nai Eli.
Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So Omer Abaya, Trei Kroi Ksivi, we have in fact two separate psukim. What are the two separate psukim? The truth of the matter is it's one pasuk, but the Gemara is splicing and slicing the pasuk into two. What does it say? If you have the Torah Ora Sholem, Loi Sizra Karmecho Koloi, make sure not to have Kloi Yaker. Why? Pen Tiktash Hamaleya. And remember we learned in the Gemara, Tiktash means Tukad Eish, that you're going to have to go and burn the Kloi HaKerem. And then it says, "Ha zera asher tizra," the zera that you are planting inside the kerem. Zera means the seed. The malaya means the additional growth. So this is what Abai is telling us, and this is what Brother Shai was answering a moment ago. Since it says in one passage, "Pentik dasha malaya," malaya means the additional growth. Uksiv ha zera, zera means the original seed. Hoketzad zrua meikoroi bihashrosha. If you're talking about at the very outset, when does Kloya Kerem happen? Not when you put the seeds in the ground, but when they become enrooted in the ground, when they take root. Might be 3 days later, might be a week later, whenever it is, you've now been over the Isser of Kloya Kerem. What happens, Zeruah Uba? What happens if you already planted this Kerem a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago? Beautiful, beautiful vineyard. And now somebody comes in and he spoils the whole thing by bringing in this perforated plant pot, a flower pot, which has in it all types of wheat seeds and stuff which are growing, and they're already growing very nicely. Oh, at this point it's a ruah ba. It's already planted. We're not talking about from the outset with the seeds, because this was planted a while ago and the kerem is there a while ago. So now you go look at the shear of the hoisif in, if it grew an additional half of 1% whilst he's standing around with the flower pot inside the kerem, then it's going to aser it, like hoisav loy, but if he was there in and out, it didn't add an additional growth of 0.5%. It's gunish mit gunish, nothing with nothing. And with this, we have now finished the fifth or the sixth of the Tanoim and Amayroim that brought Mekoirois, that the din of Basar B'Chalav is not only an Isser Bishul, but also an Isser Achila and an Isser Hanah. And now the Gemara says, but we have one holdout in the sense that one Tana respectfully disagrees with everything that we've been learning until now, vis-a-vis the Isser Hanah. Because as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, this Tana holds that there's only an Isser Bishul, which says Befeirish in the Torah, and an Isser Achila, but no Isser Hanah. Who's this Tana? Masit Loki Aitana, Desanya, Reb Shimon Yehuda, Oim Mishum Reb Shimon, the famous Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi, Basar B'Chalav is Taka Asar B'Achila. But it's Mutzer B'Anah, Rabbi Yisa. Yes, you're allowed to have Anah from Basar B'Chalav. What type of Anah would you have? You can go and sell it to a goy and make a couple of dollars, or you could feed it to your klovim, etc. How do I know that it's only Asar B'Achila Mutzer B'Anah? Shenem, it says in the Pasuk. And we've quoted this Pasuk a few times already. Ki am kodesh atal Hashem lekech l'savash l'gedi b'achalev imoy. V'nem ala lon v'anche kodesh tiyuli. U'basu v'sar da treifa lo yisoy cheilu lakel of tashlichan oisoy. That's a din of treifa. And in fact, if you remember, that's the very drasha that we started off with. Tanya Isi ben Yehuda Oimer. How do I know Basar B'Chalav is Asar B'Achila? Ki am kodesh atal. V'anche kodesh tiyuli Isar Achila. Malalon Asar B'Achila Mutzer B'Anah. Avkan Asar B'Achila Mutzer B'Anah. Isa ben Yehuda continued on after that Gzeir Shav, and he said, now let's learn the Isra Noah from Arla, or from Chavetz V'Pesach, or from Kilayim, etc., etc. But Isa ben Yehuda stops, not Isa ben Yehuda, Pshim Ba'ichoy stops right after Isra Achil and says, since we're learning Kodesh Kodesh, just like by Treifa, it's Asar B'Achila, it's Mutzer B'Anah, here too, Asar B'Achila or Mutzer B'Anah. With this, we have finished that whole sukkah. And we go back now to the Mishnah Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where we had Rabbi Akiva Oimer. Now, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva disagreed with Rabbi Shmuel. He agrees that it says in the Torah three times of Ashkadi Bachalev Imoy. And what do I learn from the three Lois of Ashels? Instead of Echad Isser Bishul, Echad Isser Achila, Echad Isser Hanoah, Rabbi Akiva said, I learned from the three Lemute, only a Gedi, Veloy Chaya, Veloy Oif, Veloy Behema Tmeya. That if you took chaya meat, venison meat, buffalo meat, or whatever, and you put it into milk, gunish, nothing happens. Same thing as if you took chicken, and you put it into milk, and you cooked it beautifully, that, min ha-toira, it's mutter, says Rabbi Akiva. If you take a behemoth tamea, you take horse meat, and you cook it in milk, no iser, says Rabbi Akiva. Yeah, if you want to just double check the Lashon HaMishnah, back on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, you have the Mishnah on the all the way in the bottom of the Amud, five lines from the bottom of Akiva Omer. Chaya v'oif eina min ha-toira shenemar l'sivash gadiba chalev imay gimel pomen prat l'chaya u'la'oif u'beheima t'mei. Okay, that's all very straightforward. We got one problem, Rabbi Sai. The problem is that Shmuel, back on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, took the same three l'sivash gadiz, and he initially learned six separate drushes, and the Gemara says, how can you learn six drushes from three Gedis? Says the Gemara, you're right, I don't need it for this, I don't need it for that. And the Gemara concluded that he only has three drushes altogether. Now, Rashi does us a favor and says, you don't have to look over the whole Gemara there on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. I'm going to give you a summary. See Rashi over here, five, six lines before the first wide lines. Says Rashi, Hadoshino Likid Shmuel. Chad lechelev u'mesa. Chelev u'mesa means that if you have chelev and you cook it in cholav, or you have mesa, you have nevela and you cook it in cholav, that pasuk comes to tell you that they are included in the iser of basar b'chalav. V'chad l'rabbi shlil. Shlil means you have a baby inside the mommy's stomach. Ben pekua, if you went and cut off a piece of meat and put it into milk, yes, you're oiv the din of basar b'chalav. So those two are to be marba a riboy chelav and meisa. The other one is shlil. Finally, b'chad lahoitzi tmeya. One is it says tmeya does not apply if you took horse meat, chazan meat, whatever it is, and you put it together with milk and you cooked it. You are hotter, no iser of the fashal gedi. Now on this tmeya, that Rabbi Kiva agrees to, because Rabbi Kiva says I have three drushes. So Shmuel also is my only problem is, what does Rabbi Kiva do with the fact that Shmuel uses two of the Gediz to tell you Chela and Mesa and the Din of Shlil, and Rabbi Kiva disagrees and he uses it to exclude Chaya v'Oif. Back to the Gemara. Zok to Gemara, yes, Rabbi Kiva, Oif v'Chaya v'Oif. Hani ha'of kinu l'kiri Shmuel. I need the three psukim for Shmuel, Zalach. Have the more kosev Rabbi Kiva. Iser chalal iser, and chayla v'meis leitzrich ikra. I don't need a posik to go and tell you that the iser of basa v'cholav is shayich by chaylev and by mesa, meaning by a nevela. Why is that? Because he holds iser chal al iser. Since the iser chal iser, who cares that we're talking about that it has a pre-existing iser of chaylev, or it's a pre-existing iser of nevela? That doesn't make any difference, says Rabbi Kiva. You cook it in milk, you get nailed for the iser of leisavash v'diba chalevimoy. So I don't need a pasuk for that. It's a chadav a poshit. Shlil is gedim al yehu. The fact that it happens to be born or it's residing inside the mommy's stomach when you shechtu the mommy and you found the shlil, who cares? Nevertheless, it's bona fide meat, and therefore, just like any meat, you're going to have to treat it with all the severity of eating fleishiks. For purposes of basa v'cholav, it's fleishiks, it's meat. So I don't need the two psukim to teach those two limudim. So therefore I have those two psukim which are now superfluous. What do I learn with from them? Prat l'chayev, prat l'oif, and as far as the third one, that's the same thing as Shmuel, he also uses it, the behema tmei. So that, we have no problem with Shmuel.
He wasn't afraid for basa v'cholav, and shidav tubim chulav yisroel, afilo. The old Shashi full of Yisroel, so maybe it's from Tamei.
Yeah. I told the Bahaim can be for Tamei, the flesh can be full of Yisroel, or the Bahaim can be a Bahaim flesh. Tamei flesh. Good, so that was Rabbi Kiva. Then we have Rabbi Yossi Aglili in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Ime Nemar Loi Soichu. For this, we have to go back to the Mishnah again for a short moment, so we understand what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying and how he agrees or disagrees with Rabbi Kiva. Back on Kuf Yud Gimel Omid Aleph, four lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Nemar Loisoichlu Kol Nevel. That's the beginning of the pasuk. The Nemar and the end of the pasuk. It says Loisavash Al Gedi Bachalev Imay. These two are written in the same pasuk in the Torah. So now Darshan Rabbi Aglili Esha Asa Mishum Nevela. Any type of creation of the Rabbi Mishlein. What is the din of Nevela? Aser Levashel B'cholav is a din of Bishul B'cholav, and that's the reason why the Torah puts the two together. Leisoichu Kol Nevela. Even though this is a Nevela, if you hold Issachal Isser, you can go and you have the Isser of Bishul B'cholav, Levashel B'di B'cholav Imay. And even if you don't hold the din of Issachal Isser, the Torah is telling you what is the category of animals which the din of Leisavashel B'di B'cholav Imay applies to anything that can become a nevela. So what is anything that can become a nevela? A chaya can become a nevela. That's a double poshet. An oif can become a nevela. Okay. So Zokti Moriyat, so l'choyra, this loisoichu kol nevela comes to tell us that a chaya and an oif, there is a din of basar b'cholav. 1 second, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Oif I'm going to take out. Oif she'asu mishum nevela. Like we just said, since there is a nevelas oif, so therefore there should be a din of iser of basar b'cholav. Tamalei b'cholav imay yatsa oif she'im lecholav ein. All other animals, when they give birth to their children, so then those children initially nurse from their mommy, lehavdol, just like human beings. An oif, as you know, doesn't go and have a baby come out from its stomach. It lays eggs. And those eggs do not go, and subsequently when they open up and the children, the chicks hatch, they don't go and suck the udders of their mommy, because the mommy doesn't have udders from which to nurse. So therefore, no din of chalev imay. Okay, so the bottom line is, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili holds that oif, there is no din of basar b'cholav. Why? Because of chalev imay. So that's like Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva also excluded oif. The only machloikas between them is why. Rabbi Kiva went and excluded him from the din of Gedi. Rabbi Yosef Glili excludes oif from the chaleid imay. But otherwise, they agree. So where is their machloikis? The machloikis of the choy legabe chaya. Where Rabbi Kiva says, chaya ain't a minatoyah. Because leisavash gedi, prat lechaya. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, no. Anything that is shayach nevela, nevela is shayach by chaya as well. You have chaya nevela. So that being the case, they have a machloikis legabe chaya. That's lechoy the only machloikis. There's another way of understanding and making a second machlekes. What's the second machlekes? Notice Rabbi Kiva says, Chai v'oif eina min ha-toyrah. It sounds, however, that there is an iser midrabanon, that even though Rabbi Kiva holds you not let it go and eat, even though he holds you are allowed to eat a chicken, piece of chicken, together with milk, that's min ha-toyrah. That's why he says Eidim and Atayim. Rabbi Yosef Glili is non-committal. All Rabbi Yosef Glili says is that oif she'as mishum nevela yochli yos levash v'cholav. No, yotz oif she'en lecholav ein. So it doesn't tell us, but the Gemara is going to suggest that Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that you're allowed to eat oif v'cholav even midrabanan. I know your hair is standing on end. That's what Rabbi Yosef Glili holds according to the second Teretz, that you can eat piece of chicken and drink milk at the same time. Or take a piece of milk, take a piece of chicken and cook it up in milk of oif. No, I'm sorry, of milk. Why? Because oif is no din, even midrabanan, no din of basar b'chol. Okay, so now getting back to our Gemara. Zoki Mara Kufta Zayin Amid Aleph, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Oymer Nemelis, Toy Soichlu, Kol Nevela. My ikabein Rabbi Zeglili Rabbi Kiva. What's the nafkimina? Ikabeinayu chaya. That's the easy one because Rabbi Zeglili sover chaya via raisa because chaya is shayach in the parsha of nevela. But said Rabbi Kiva, gidi lemute chaya v'oif. So chaya is off the table. Machloikis legabi chaya. Yes, bas b'chalav. Nish bas b'chalav. That's the nafkimina. But Rabbi Kiva sover chaya. Rabban, like we just said, iba yisema, but no chapshat. That there's another machlokes. Oif midrabanan iki benayim. What's oif midrabanan? Rabbi Kiva sover chay v'oif einan min ha-toyra. Why did he use the expression chay v'oif einan min ha-toyra? He should say chay v'oif is potter. There's no din of bas b'cholov. Why did he say einan min ha-toyra? It's a mashma midrabanan. It's asur. So you're not allowed to go and eat oif b'cholov midrabanan. If you basically the sover oif afil midrabanan, nami liyasur. Even midrabanan, there's no isur. The boy said, can you imagine, according to Yosef Glili, you're allowed to go and cook a piece of chicken in milk? No problem. And this is not just hypothetical, that maybe Rabbi Yosef Glili holds. Tana miyochi ha-befeirish ha-braisa directly on point. Vim koimish Reblazer. This is the famous Reblazer Demila from Masechta Shabbos. What does Reblazer hold? Reblazer Demila. That not only a bris mila is doich ha-shabbos, but even the machshirei mitzvah are doich ha-shabbos. What a machshirei mitzvah. Every moil who is a competent, professional moil, not forgetful, he goes and brings along, or he already, before Shabbos, he's going to place in shul, or wherever the bris is going to take place, the moil messer, the moil knife that you're going to use for the krisas bris, for the mila. But what happened Shabbos morning, he realizes, I don't have here a moil messer. I don't have my knife. So, in the place of Reblezer, you korsim eitzim, they would go into the forest, cut down trees, take the wood of the tree, and lasis pchomim, to make it into charcoal. In other words, it would make a big fire, and now the charcoal. And now I would go and take barzel, a piece of metal, I would put it into the flame, and form it, and mold it, until I had a nice, beautiful moil messer, and then I say, okay, Rabbi Isai, I know we were supposed to have the bris this morning, right after davening, at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever zman you daven. Sorry, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but better late than never. I finally have my moil messer. We're going to go and perform the bris. Good. This is what they did in Reb Leizer. They did nothing to do in the Mekoyvus Reb Leizer. Now, for us. On Shabbos Kodesh.
It's a famous term. Reb Leizer, the Makshir, this is Doch as a Shabbos.
Machshiri mitzvah means not only the mitzvah itself is doich Shabbos, that's why you're allowed to do a bris on Shabbos, but even machshir means machinery that you need to be able to perform the bris. And the machinery that you need is just really only the moil meser. You're allowed to go and make that and produce that on Shabbos. But that's only according to the blaze. We, of course, don't pass in that way. So if you have a moil that comes into shul and he doesn't have his moil meser on Shabbos morning, you'll have to tell everybody, sorry, chevra, bris is postponed to tomorrow. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, but this has nothing to do, of course, with us, but the price continues on. The Mekabit Reis Eglili, oh, Arab Yis Eglili, hoye oichlin, besar oif v'cholav. They ate milk and chicken together. Even if the chicken was cooked inside the milk, they ate it. Of course, they made a bracha first. It goes without saying. But yes, they ate it, no problem. Because this is basically lishitasai, that there is no din of oif basa b'cholav, even midrabanan. And he might tell us a live story, a real life story. Levi ikla be Yosef Rishba. Levi went and visited the home of Yosef Rishba. Rishba, says Rashi, means a foul trapper. Foul trapper. Good. A bird trapper. He trapped birds. That was his business. That's how he made a living, by trapping birds. Aisa the Kameh. So now Levi is visiting Yosef Rishba and he's offering him a beautiful meal. Take a seat, my friend. Eat together with me. And he gave him Reisha Dityusa. On the side is the Tafsa. That's the name of a bird. And he gave him that bird, and it was swimming b'chalva in milk. Levi was astounded, shocked, and amazed. But he didn't say a word. Doesn't say that he ate it, but he didn't complain. He didn't, wasn't mocha. He didn't make a protest. He didn't say a word. Levi afterwards, he also came to Rebbe when he comes in front of Rebbe. He told him the whole story, and Rebbe said, "Amalei my loy to shamtinu." He should have put him in shamtin and cherim. Can you imagine Yosef Rishba eating every single day, or eating often busa b'chulav? Amalei, so Levi told him, "Asri de Yehuda ben Beseiru, where Yosef Rishba is the place of Yehuda ben Beseiru. Presumably that was nitzivin, like we have in Masechet Pesachim." Yes, atam nitzivim tzedas prusa yushalayim. So presumably this was a nitzivim. Vamina, and I thought to myself, dorish lahu kirab yoisi haglili, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira apparently sided with Rabbi Yoisi haglili, and he also holds the omar yotze oif she'ein loy chalav ein, and therefore you're allowed to go and eat basar becholav, basar oif becholav, even midrab anan. Wow. So if you ever hear somebody tell you that yes, you're allowed to go and eat chicken together with milk, even if it was cooked in the milk, you'll say, that's no chiddush to me. You obviously hold like Rabbi Yosi Hagli. And that's the end of this country. Shtickle.
But he didn't eat it. He didn't eat.
Levi didn't eat it. I'm sorry. What, Brother Shai, you have a question?
He kept his mouth shut.
He said, Amina. I don't know for certain, but Amina. I conjured up in my mind. I assumed that limits chus, says my mechitin, just like Blav Yitzchak Mibaditchiva with limits chus. That the reason why. says my mechitin. There's a famous chazal. Al prodan es chavercha ad shetegia lim komo. That lim komo is the mekoyma here of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So don't todan es chavercha. Don't go and condemn Rabbi Yosef Rishba for serving milchiks and fleishiks chicken, because to give him komo, come to the place of Yehuda ben Beseira, where he apparently paskin like Rabbi Yosef Glili, that this is permissible, and therefore no problem. Okay, shkoyach.
So, but then he says, any portion usually be ordered. So how is he trapping those girls? It's going to be coming from the 50 amos of the nearest shoveth. But I guess apparently that wasn't an issue.
Exactly. That is correct. The ain portion is really, yoinim is, as you say, it's talking about a case where we're afraid that he's stealing yoinim from somebody else, and then it depends whether it's within 50 amos or beyond 50 amos in terms of whether it's hefker or not. But that, of course, is unrelated to our sugya. But thank you for reminding us. And now on to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah focuses on cheese. How do you manufacture cheese? Our Mishnah tells us there were two ways that they used to manufacture cheese. One was that they took milk and placed it in a keva. Keva is one of the four stomachs of an animal. Or it doesn't have to be that you placed in the keva. It could be that this was an animal that shortly before its demise drank and nourished milk from its mommy or from another female animal by sucking on the udders, just like lahavdil, just like a baby goes and sucks from its mother. Okay, from his or her mother. So that's one way that you find milk inside a keva, and if you let it stand for 24 hours, it's going to turn into cheese. How does this happen? Because of the enzymes which are inside the keva, naturally, nature, of course, meaning the Rabbeinu Shlalem planted enzymes in the keva. Those enzymes cause the milk to coagulate and to become cheese. And in fact, in fancy English, that's called rennet. That milk that coagulates and becomes cheese inside the stomach as a result of those enzymes. That's one way of manufacturing cheese. There's another way of manufacturing cheese, and that is that you cut off a piece of keva and you insert it in a container of milk. I have a container of milk, or I have a glass, I have a bowl of milk, I cut off a piece of a keva. That keva has in it the enzymes, and I put that ore of keva into the milk, that also causes it to become cheese. Now the question is it kosher or not? And we'll see in the Gemara what the shailas could potentially be. So we start off the Mishnah again. Keva is overcome. Now, although the Mishnah talks about keva, and you think to yourself, oh, we're talking about the stomach. No, no, no. We're not talking about the stomach. We're talking about the milk which is congealing and coagulating and becoming cheese inside the stomach. If you look at the first Rashi all the way in the bottom of the last line, keva, we don't mean the keva itself. So cholov korush, korush means that it congealed, it coagulated. Shebatoicha keva, inside the keva. So we're talking about the cheese inside the keva. Now, which type of keva? So the Mishnah says oivid kechovim, a behema that was owned by a goy, or v'shel nevela, or it was owned by a Jew, but it was not gishochten; it was a nevela. And the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which Rashi already asks on the bottom of the Amid. If the keva is from an animal that belonged to a goy, then of course it's also going to be a nevela, because either this animal will die, or the goy is going to hit it over the head with a baseball bat and kill it. And even if the goy decides to go and shecht it, his shechita is not effective. So therefore, why do we repeat that same case twice? Oivicham shel nevela. By definition, if it's a keva belonging to a goy's animal, it's an avela. So Gemara is going to talk about that shortly. Anyways, in that type of cheese, which has been congealed, coagulated inside such a keva, harizu asura, it is asur. Why is it asur? We don't know yet. The Gemara is going to give us a couple of reasons. We'll see shortly. Now, hamamid for or shel keva. This is what we spoke about before. Although it talks about or, which means the skin, you cut off a piece of keva and you put it into milk. Now, I know our Mishnah says ksheira. It's a big machloikis, the mafarshim, whether you should put the word ksheira or not. The Bach takes it out, so for the time being, we'll take it out. Maybe we'll focus on this a little bit later. But anyway, hamamid for or shel keva, if you went and took a piece of keva and put it into milk, what's the din, says the Gemara, the top of the Amid, im yesh benois and tam. If you now drink the milk subsequently, and you say, I feel a little bit those enzymes from the keva in my milk, harizu asura, then it would become asur, because it's nois and tam of cholov, sorry, of meat, of basar into the cholov, so you have a classic basar b'cholov issue. Im yesh benois and tam, harizu asura. Fine. We're going to get back to all of this in the Yetshim and the Gemara. Right now we get to the Seifa of the Mishnah, where the Seifa of the Mishnah tells us, don't just look at the identity of the behema in which you have the keva and in which you have the milk in the keva. The importance, the really we should look at is not the animal in which you have the keva, but rather what is the source of the milk. So ksheira shiyonkim and atreifa. What happens if you had an owner that had both he had all only kosher animals, but one of the kosher animals, unfortunately, was a treifa. And we knew that it was a treifa because it had some sort of mum, which was nicker that it was a treifa even when it was alive. Okay, and he had some of the regular normal animals, yonka, that went and were yonik, they sucked milk from the treifa, from that mami that was a treifa. What's the din now? Now I find milk inside the keva of the child, the one that was yonek. That child was kosher, kshera. Nevertheless, kevasa, the milk which is in the keva, that congealed, coagulated milk, which we call rennet, is going to be osur. Why is it going to be osur? Because I ignore the fact that it's in the keva of a kosher animal, but I look at the source. Where did the milk come from? The milk came from a treifa. No, it's treifa milk. So therefore, it's treifa cheese. On the other hand, what happens to the other way around? If you have a treifa shiyonka menaksheira, you had an animal which was a kosher species, but it was a treifa, and it was yoinik menaksheira, so this could be a treifa even after the shechita. In other words, you had a young animal, everybody wanted to have some calf meat as opposed to cow meat. They think it's more lean, it's healthier, whatever. So what did they do? They had a young calf, they shechted it. Unfortunately, it was a sircha in the lungs. It was a treifa. However, when we opened up the keva, we discovered that there was cheese there, or there was milk that eventually became cheese. Where did that milk come from? Shiyanka makshera. All the rest of the animals there in the barn, in the corral, were all kosher animals, no tarfis. So it was yoni makshera. Kevasa muteris. The cheese inside this animal will be mutter. Now, why is that? Why are we going after the identity of the source of the milk, as opposed to the nature of this animal? Says the Mishnah, and they shekonus b'me'eha. You look upon the milk inside the keva, and the cheese that eventually is formed from that milk, as if it happens to be konus, as if it's in a container. You have a plastic container inside the keva in which you have that milk, so the milk is not affected at all. It's not at all part of the animal in which you found the milk. I'm only concerned about where did this milk come from? If the milk came from a treifa, even though you find it in a kosher animal, it's treifa milk. On the other hand, if you have milk that came from a kosher animal, even though it happens to be in a treifa, it is kosher milk and kosher cheese. We're going to discuss all of this more as we go into the Gemara.
It's very much like bee honey. It's just like bee honey, because the bee is a non-kosher animal, but the substance that it goes through it is kosher, it's plants.
Very good. Beautiful. Shizok Timar. We started off the Mishnah that you had either a keva of Oivet Kechavim or Shel Neveh. And we already asked the question. Freit Timar, Otto Kevas Oivet Kechavim Lav Neveli. By definition, if you're getting a keva and you're getting the cheese inside the keva from a goy, obviously that keva, in other words, the original stomach, was from a nevela. The goy doesn't have ksheira, so at least that's the assumption. So, why does the Mishnah have to go and repeat keva, so if you come mishon nevela, just say keva's nevela. So we're going to have two terutz. Terutz number one of Rav Huna, and then we're going to have Shmuel. Omer Rav Huna. Hach b'lekeach g'dimen oiv g'chav maskinan. This keva's oiv g'chav is not talking about that the goy is producing a dead animal which has cheese inside its stomach, inside the keva. We're talking about a yid that bought a gedi from a goy. Lebedik. It's alive and kicking. It's a lebedik gedi. And what did the Jew do with that gedi after he bought it from the goy? He shechted it. Okay. And he did a perfect shechita, did a great job. Perfect. It's a kosher animal, kosher shechita, everything is great. But now, when we start checking out all the different organs in the animal, and we open up the keva, wow, what did I find inside that keva? I found milk, and the milk was coagulating and becoming cheese. Am I allowed to go and eat from that cheese? Says our Mishnah, no. Why not? It was a kosher gedi, I shechted it, everything was perfect. Just because it was owned by a goy yesterday or a week ago, who cares? Says Yimurkas Chashinin Shema Yonak Min HaTreifa, which is like we had in the Sefer of the Mishnah, that maybe this kosher gedi, the milk inside its stomach, came from a mami that was a treifa animal. And so therefore, that's why I'm saying that the milk inside the stomach is treifa milk, and you can't eat it. Frank Timar, really? We're not finished yet. Don't be nervous. The Gemara is going to quickly, shortly, be doche this pshat, taka, because of what you're saying, that it's only a miut, which is not matzui. But let's wait for that. Brother Shai, you're really cooking with gas today. You're mechaben to Abaye and the Omer Aleph, and you're mechaben to the Gemara's pshat over here in another moment. Frank Timar, umi chayshin and shema yonek min atreifa. Can you, are you really choishish when you buy a gdi from a goy, the may was yoni min atreifa, but nahan? Don't we have a Mishnah? Loichet, really, it's a braiser. But Tanya, loichem beyim min oiv dichom vein choishin, loimishim nevel, loimishim treifa. When we buy eggs in the store of Boisai, they look like normal chicken eggs, and they're tasty, and they're kosher. I mean, what could be wrong with an egg? I mean, egg from a chicken, it is fine. However, the problem is, we're talking about eggs that were already laid by the chicken or by the hen in the chicken coop, and you collected the eggs together, you put them into these nice boxes, and you sell them. Oh, that's great. However, there's another way of getting bayim from a chicken, and that is, what happens if you have a hen that died? Nebuch, big levaya, everybody's so upset, the hen died. Yep, okay, and then they open the hen up, and they find in it eggs which have not been laid yet. They were very laid back inside the hen before it died. Those eggs, if, assuming that they are still attached with sinews or whatever inside the bowels of this chicken, not the bowels, but inside the chicken, inside the hen, they have a status of nevela. Just like you're not allowed to eat the chicken, which is nevela, you're not allowed to eat these eggs, mishum nevela. And the same thing would apply to treifa. In other words, the person, after they shechted this hen, they opened it up and they found that there was some sort of simen tarfis, like a sirch in the lungs, which is very rare for a chicken, but it can happen. So they found it's a treifa. And you also found eggs inside that chicken, inside that hen. They are treifa, you're not allowed to eat them because they're considered to be just an extension of the mami hen, their nevela or treifa. So what does it say in this price? If a goy has outside in the street, he has a stand and he's selling eggs, you can buy it. You don't have to worry about inside asking, and by the way, where did you get these eggs from? Were they already laid, or were they inside a hen that died, or a hen that you shechted, it was treifah? You don't have to ask these questions. You're not choishish, says Brother Shai. Why are you not choishish? Because this is not motzui, as Imar is going to say in a moment. Says Imar, okay, you're right. So the Teretz said Rav Huna gave that lekiach gdimen of chavim v'chayshin and shem yonak min atreifa. I'm not worried about treifa. This is so unusual. That cannot be the pshat in the Mishnah. Ela eima chayshin and shem yonak min hatmeya. Oh, this goy, besides having kosher animals, he also had some horses. He also had some camels. He also had some chazerim, some dover achers, some pigs, etc. So now if I buy a gedi, a lebig dikke gedi, not a geschachten gedi, not a dead gedi. This is a live gedi. I buy it from a goy. The concern in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to eat the cheese inside the gedi after it. I went and shechted it, a kosher shoichet, shechted, did a perfect job. And now we find this cheese inside the keva. You're not allowed to eat from it. Why not? Because maybe this cheese comes from milk of the horse, or milk of the chazer, or another non-kosher animal. Frank Timur, Maishna treifa deloy chashinin, or Maishna tmei de chashinin. A moment ago you said, I'm not worried about that the eggs may be from an avela treifa, but all of a sudden I'm worried about a behema tmeya. What's the chilik? Why am I not worried about treifa, but worried about tmeya? Says Timur, very simple. Treifa loy shchicha. Tmeya is chicha. That's exactly what Brother Shai said a minute ago. Is it matzui to have an animal which is treifa that I have to worry that the gdi has in it milk from a treifa cow, from a treifa keves, treifa eis? Ah, come on, that's so unusual. But I do have to worry about a tmeya because there are millions and billions of tamidik animals around. So maybe this gdi went and sucked milk from a tmeya. Also, Why are we only worried if you bought a gdi from a guy? Even if you're a Jew and you own a gdi. Maybe your gdi went besodos acheris, mi merchak tovi lachmo, or in this case, mi merchak tovi chalovoi. It went afield and it drank from a horse. It was horsing around and drank from a horse, or drank from a pig, or whatever it is. Nechush, we should be worried about that any cheese inside the keva, maybe it's from a behemoth tmeya. Evidimor, anandi badlina minayu, we that make a havdola, we separate ourselves from the non-kosher animals, because we're not allowed to eat a non-kosher animal. V'chi chazina luhu, and if we see a non-kosher animal who's trying to drezach, he's trying to come into my corral or my barn, v'fishkina luhu, we put up a big sign, you horses, no trespassing. You chazerim aros, get out of here, you're not supposed to be here. So they goes berabban, they didn't make a gzeir. Be'inu by goyim, play b'dilim inayu, they could care less whether it happens to be a kosher animal, non-kosher animal. And if they see the non-kosher animals, they don't go and say, horse, get out of here. Chazi, get out of here. Since they're not careful. If I were to go and buy now a lebedike gdi from a goy, and that goy had on his farm or nearby these non-kosher animals, and then after that I shech the gdi, and I find inside the keva, I find milk or I find cheese, and I say, oi, 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 am I allowed to eat it, yes or no? So Poshib Shad, I would say, yes, you're allowed to eat it. It's a kosher gedi, kosher shaykhit, everything is wonderful. No, since you bought it from a goy, maybe it's from cholov of a behema tmei. Very interesting shot.
A horse or a pig would be so generous that they would give milk to a different species of pig. No,
the horse was adopting the gedi as an adopted child. The horse was trying to steal the gedi from somebody, and he said, this is the best way of endearing himself or herself to the gedi by giving it some food. The gedi will follow after me, and then the horse will be able to go and kidnap the gedi. Okay, is that good enough for you, Brother Shai?
I have to ask a farmer,
so
just
say
it actually happened.
Okay, please
I'm
do so.
Ask a farmer, he'll tell you. But all the children's books have this, Charlotte's Web and things like that, where the animals all intermingle and everything and help each other. So, you haven't read children's books in a while. And children's literature is common, maybe not in reality.
Anyway, there's a famous story about the Chassam Sofer. Very good, Barry. What's the story of the Chassam Sofer? Chassam Sofer was once invited to the palace of Kaiser Franz Josef. Kaiser Franz Josef was the Caesar, the Tsar of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. He invited the Heilig Chassam Sofer to go and join him for discussions. Chassam Sofer came in, and the Kaiser Franz Josef promptly offered him a coffee to drink, and he poured milk into the coffee. And he offered it to Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer did not drink. So the Kaiser said, Herr Rabina, how come you're not drinking from the coffee? He didn't want to tell him the reason, because he didn't want the Kaiser to be upset, but the Kaiser kind of pressed him, and he said, why don't you want to drink from the coffee? He said, I have to tell you, because you put milk into the coffee, and because I didn't watch the milking, and it has no hashgacha, I'm afraid that maybe the milk was not from a kosher animal. Maybe it was from a horse or another non-kosher animal, which I'm not allowed to drink. And the Kaiser looks at him and says, Herr Rabina, come on. In the palace of the Tsar, do you think they're going to serve you horse milk? What's going on over here? So Chassam Sofer was silent. He says, that's the halucha. I have no way of changing. Kaiser calls in, Yoji, kum darein. Yoji, that was the name of his Hungarian assistant, the waiter or the butler, and he says, come to that. Good. So Yoji comes in, and the Tsar says to him, hey Yoji, where did you get the milk from this morning that you have here on the table? And Yoji starts turning green, yellow, and white all simultaneously. He says, Yoji, Zatmir, where did you get the milk from? And now his knees start shaking back and forth. Chil ura'ada yoichezen. He is standing there in trepidation. Yoji, you better tell me, otherwise, achas dosa ilhamis. You'll be he won't be executed, but at least he'll be dismissed from his job. So Yoshi says, "Oi, Herr Kaiser, I have to tell you, I went this morning like every morning to the cows, and I went and I squeezed the udders, and I brought milk in the container, and I was going to serve cow milk to our distinguished guest, but unfortunately, one part of the field, there was a little pond of water, a puddle of water, because it was a big rain yesterday, and I slipped on the water, the whole container fell to the ground, and all the milk spilled out. So what did I do? I know we're having this guest, and we have to go and serve him coffee with milk." So the cow had no more milk, because I had already squeezed out the last drop. So I went over to the horse, and I went and squeezed some udders of the horse to produce milk, and that's the milk that you have here on the table. And then the Kaiser Franz Josef looks at Chassam Soif and he says, "Heilige Yude, a holy Jew, because you went and kept your halacha the way you're supposed to, you were spared from having this non-kosher milk." Anyway, that's a famous story, and we move on. Rabbeisai, we continue the Gemara. So we had now the first shot of Rav Huna in understanding this keva soivik kachavim doesn't mean the keva cheese produced by a goy from a non, from a keva, from a stomach of an animal that he owned, which became a nevela, and now he's bringing this milk, this coagulated cheese. No. We're talking about that the gedi originally belonged to a goy, and that goy was not makpid on his gedi going and sucking from a horse. So I'm afraid that maybe the milk inside the stomach came from a horse, and therefore, no good. Shmuel says, "I have a brand new pshat. Chodik Tani. We're going to merge the two." What means we're going to merge the two? We said in the Mishnah, Keves Ovi Kachavim Vishal Nevela. It's really Keves Ovi Kachavim, which is a Nevela. Dr. Shmuel, Chodik Tani, Keves Shchitas Ovi Kachavim, that's a Nevela. Even if an Ovi Kachavim does a perfect job in Shchita, since he is not authorized or qualified to shecht, automatically it's an nevela. And so therefore the milk inside this keva, the cheese inside this keva, that cheese has a din of nevela cheese. That's why you cannot eat. Frank Timara, is that really true? Shmuel says, you know why you're now going to go and buy cheese from a goy? Because he's mamet oisa. Mamet oisa means he puts into a container of milk, he puts in a shtickle of the or hakeva. Remember in our Mishnah we said the two ways of manufacturing cheese. Not only by having milk coagulate inside a keva and getting the enzymes and becoming rennet, but also you can cut off a piece of keva and place it into the milk. So my local goyim over here that are selling cheese, they are mamet oisa ba'or keva sevela by cutting off a piece of keva and putting it into the milk. And we already said on the top line here of this amid, emyesh ben oisim tam, if he gives a nitzin his tam, it's awesome. That's why don't buy gvinas akum, because it may very likely have the tam of the basar of the keva inside the milk. So Kimaris, I'm going to be medayik from that. Hakeva gufasharia. If it wouldn't be that I took a piece of keva and put it into milk, but rather it would be milk that coagulates inside the keva of an animal that belongs to a goy, I would say it's mutter. So in bazoi, is the chmashma that keva milk of a goy is mutter, and you're saying, Shmuel, that keva milk is nevela milk and that it's also. That's how Shmuel explained the beginning of our Mishnah. So we have a stira Shmuel on Shmuel. This is talking before Chazara, and this is talking place after Chazara. What is this before Chazara and after Chazara all about? We're going to see a Rashi in a moment, where the question was raised in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, why are you not allowed to eat gvinas oivdei kechavim, non-Jewish cheese? Why does cheese have to have hashkacha? Why can't you go and take cheese from a goy? And the Gemara initially says Rabbi Yehoshua, "Mishum amidin oisa bekevas nevela." Oh, what we were just talking about? because the goy allows the milk to be sitting there in the keva. It sits there for approximately 24 hours. It now draws from the enzymes inside of the keva, and now it becomes ashtik keva. And since the keva of the animal was a non-kosher animal, why? Because even if it was a kosher species, but it was an avela lamashal, right? So then this cheese inside the stomach is also considered to be nevela cheese. Frank the Gemara, that's very difficult to understand, because the halacha is by an oila. As you know, a carbon oila is kula kolul on the mizbeach. The whole oila bakal mikol kolul on the mizbeach. That being the case, what about the keva of the oila? Also you put on the mizbeach. What happens if you find in the keva, before you put on the mizbeach, that there is milk which is congealing and coagulating and is becoming cheese? What do? Do you put that on the mizbeach? And the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, no. Instead, you offer it to any koyin, shedah toyofa. Dat toyofa means that he's not finicky and particular about what he eats, and we allow him to be soyref chaya. We allow him to go and eat it alive, raw. He can take out that milk, scoop it out, and if it's now cheese, scoop it out like cheese, and eat it, no issue. How can you do that? It's part of the oila. Oila is killer kulu. If you're eating from an oila chas v'shalom, you're moil behegdish. Belongs to the boynish olam. How can you eat from that cheese? Says the Gemara, because the cheese is not considered to be part and parcel of the animal. It's like in a container within the animal. It's as if you opened up the keva of this oila and you find there a pint of milk in a golden flow container, saying on it has Hashkucha from the Sachtas Rabunim, from Tarnapol, from Tartika, from the OU, and the OK, and the Chofke. It's triple kosher, not a problem. That's what we said at the end of the Mishnah, Konus B'me'eha. It's in a container inside the mommy's stomach. So therefore, that's why by the carbon oila, we allow for a koyin shedati yofet to eat from that cheese or from that milk. No, oibazoy, if that's the case, so even if you find cheese inside a nevela, you should be able to eat it because it's not a shtik nevela. Just like the cheese inside the oila is not a shtik oila that you have to put on the mizbeach, but you can eat it. So then the same thing should apply to cheese inside the stomach of a nevela. And so Rabbi Yeshua there in Masechta Avodah Zarah says, you're right. You're absolutely right. The reason why you're not allowed to eat kevinas ovechavim is because of another reason. What's the other reason? Because maybe you put the or hakeva in it. Not inside the keva, but you took a piece of keva and you put it into milk, and therefore you contaminated it, so to speak, by putting the or hakeva in it. So, koidim chazara means before Rabbi Shua changed his mind. Liach chazara means after he changed his mind. Let's take just a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi's halfway down the wide lines down below. Halfway down the wide lines. See, Rashi begins, Kam koinim chazar, perik in mamidim avodazar, shol Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shua. Memnei ma'asurim gvinas oivdicham, why can't you eat non-Jewish cheese? Amalai, neishamid ma'isra bekevaz nevela. Because you put it inside, you mamid it, mamid means that you allow it to congeal and coagulate, kiloimar, becholov ha'korish ba. The cholov that becomes congealed inside the keva, it's ashtik nevela, and that's why it's awesome. Amalai, while the keva so oila, chamur mi keva is nevela. Oila is much more chomer than nevela. Nevela is only osir ba'achila. It's mutter ba'hana. But oila is even osir ba'hana. The omru, when they said, kol koin shedati yofa, any koin that is not finicky, sarfachai, can eat up that milk and that cheese inside the keva, not a problem. So you see, it doesn't get the din of a tredus oila, so therefore the cheese inside a kevas nevela shouldn't get a din of a tredus nevela. Amalois, he told him, Nisha mamidin oisa bekevas egli avoidazar. You're right. It's not because you find it inside a keva. If you find it inside a keva, you can eat it. No problem. Just like by the oila, you can eat it. The reason why you can't go and eat it over here is because mamidin oisa, they cause it to congeal and coagulate by taking a shtikula, they cut off a piece of keva, and they put it into, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yisai. The Omaloi, he told them, the reason why you're not allowed to eat kevinas oivichom, shemamidin oisa bekevas, egle avoidazara. Ah, it's inside a keva of an avodah zarah egel. It's not a nevela egel. It's not a kosher egel. It's an egel of avodah zarah. That was his chazara. That's how he changed his mind. Al mechaza by mikevas nevela. We see that he changed his mind. The God of the keva is nevela. Mishum delav gufahi vatsur mishum avodah zarah. When you find milk or cheese inside a keva, don't say that it becomes bottled to the keva. And if the keva is nevela, then that milk or that cheese is also nevela. No, it's not nevela. It's considered to be something separate. I say, Bazoi, why by avodah zarah? Are you telling me it's aser? In the case of an avodah zarah, even the excrement, even the glolim inside the behemoth of avodah zarah are also aser bahanah. Why? Because the person who's bringing this for the avodah zarah, he wants to show off what a beautiful, tremendous animal he brought. The animal is not 500 pounds, it's a ton. It's why? And the reason why it's such a ton is because half of it is perish, is stuff that you're going to throw out. Anyway, Hilkach, Mishnah Seinu Zois, now getting back to our Mishnah. Nishnes Koidim Chazar, Mishim Hochi Osar. When our Mishnah says at the outset that if you find the Kevas Oivik Chacham Mishal Nevela, it's Osar, that's the way Rabbi Yeshua answered initially. Because when you find milk or cheese inside the Keva of a Nevela, it itself has a status of Nevela, and that's why it's Osar. That was Koidim Chazar. Liach Chazar means that after they proved from the Avodah Zarah that if you find keva, not by Avodah Zarah, you find keva by an oila, if you find cheese inside an oila, that a koyin shadat the yofa can eat it, it's a piece of oila. How can you eat a piece of oila? Because it's not a piece of oila. It's just milk which is konus b'me'er. It's in a container inside the oila. Ah, so that liach Chazara in a chanami, if you have milk inside, you find it in a keva of a nevela, it's kosher. It's not an issue. The only problem is you have to worry about that the milk should not have come from a non-kosher animal, like from a horse, like we said before, a behemoth tamei. However, if you know for sure that it's from a kosher animal, you can go and buy cheese and eat cheese from the keva of an oivik kechab. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Getting back to our Gemara, we had a steer Shmuel and Shmuel. Shmuel said the pshat in our Mishnah is because the milk or the cheese was in the keva of an oivid kechavim, and therefore it has a status of nevela. The same Shmuel said the reason why you're not allowed to go and buy gvinas oivid kechavim is not because you find it in the keva of the oivid kechavim, but you're mamin it ba'or ha-keva, that you cut off a piece of keva and you put it into the milk. Hakeva gufa sharia is the chastira Shmuel on Shmuel. So Shmuel lekasha. Our Mishnah talking about Karim Koinim Chazar before Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, and he held that the milk inside a keva is aser because it has a din of nevela. So that's why it says in the Mishnah. That's why it's aser. It's nevela milk. That Shmuel said that the reason why they asered Gvinas Oyv Techoven, not because it's inside of a keva, but because they took off an oyer of the keva and put it into the milk. It's kind of the Ach Chazara after Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind, and he said that the reason why you're not allowed to have the Gvinas Oyv Techoven is not because of what we just said now, but because they're mamin it in the kevas egle avoidah zara. We're going to talk about that a little later. I'm sorry, Nachmul.
Yosh Chazara Nakula, first he was Bar Machmer, now he's being
made to
offer, because he had a different understanding.
Rabbi Yeshua was asked by Rabbi Shmuel, how come we don't eat cheese produced by Goyim? Initially he said the reason is because the cheese comes from the keva of a nevela, and therefore it has a status of nevela, just like you can't eat nevela, you can't eat nevela cheese. After that he said, I have a different reason that you can't go and eat the cheese. The reason is because they are mamed in a keva of Avodah Zarah. Sits in Avodah Zarah, and then it becomes Osir. But it's not a shtick Avodah Zarah. It's not a shtick Oila. It's not a shtick Nevela. Why by Avodah Zarah are you telling me that it's Osir? Sadi Mar, because Mishim Nafche. It is considered to be part of the Avodah Zarah, because even the Perish, even the Glolim are part of the Avodah Zarah, because he wants it there. He's so happy that this Avodah Zarah is fatter and fatter and fatter. Okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. Shena Shiyonka Minatrefa. This is now the Seif of the Mishnah. Now, although the Gemara quotes Shena Shiyonka Minatrefa, it's really going on the Vechuli. You don't have to turn the page. It's here in the top of the Amud. The top line said, "Ksheirish yonkim natreifa kivasa asura." That's not what we're going on. We're going on the next case. A treifa shiyonkim and a ksheira. You shechted an animal. You found that the animal was treif because it had a sircha in the lungs. Then you also find cheese or milk inside the keva. And you know that it was yonkim and a ksheira. This animal that you just shechted was yonek this morning from a kosher animal. So therefore you know that the milk inside the keva is from a kosher animal. Even though this animal itself is treifa, I'm not allowed to eat the animal. I'm allowed to eat the cheese inside the keva because it came from a ksheira, meshekonis, and meyam. Frank Timara. Nochmu, verse 16. Yeah, the Chacham could say leitwug where they feel that that's necessary, but here they didn't feel it was necessary. But now we have a problem. V'aktoni reisha, we have now a stira between the reisha and the sefer. The reisha, we said, if you find cheese inside the keva of a nevela, it's aser. Why is it aser? Because of the fact that it's growing, it's congealing, it's coagulating inside a nevela. Yet we're saying here in the sefer that even though you found milk inside a treifa, as long as the source of the milk was from a kosher animal, then it's kosher. So we should say the same thing in the reisha as well. That if you find milk inside nevela, if the nevela went and originally suckled milk from a kosher animal, which was a ksheira, and was not a nevela, then it should be mutter. Why does it say in the Mishnah that it's awesome? And the Gemara is going to tell us the same teretz that we said a moment ago, kan lefnei chazara, kan li'ach chazara. But before we get to that, the Gemara tries to give yet another teretz to enter the stira between the reisha and the sefer. Clear, Rabbi Sai. The reisha says you find milk or cheese in the keva of a nevela, says the reisha, it's aser. The sefer says, as long as the source of that milk that you find in the keva was from a kosher animal, it's mutter. Even though the animal itself, the nevela, a trefa, doesn't make a difference. It's a chastira. Amrav chizra. Reisha nira ki oichel nevelas. Hacha ikka shchita. Meaning that the reason why in the reisha it's aser is because of exeira. Exeira is that if I see that you have a dead animal, it was killed in a traffic accident, it's on the floor, and people want to eat from the meat, and you say, no, there's nevela meat, betunish. And then somebody goes and finds inside the cave of this cheese, and he starts eating from that cheese. Guess what? People say, this fine attire to eat. Your uncle Smith, who is eating from that cheese inside the cave, must be he knows that this is a kosher animal, and everybody starts taking a piece of the animal. It's chas v'shalom, it could lead to terrible, terrible problems. Near koichon nevelas. Hocha, in the case of the sefer of our Mishnah, it was a geshachtena animal. It was a shchita. So even though it turns out that the animal was a treifa, but there was a shchita. So if you go and drink now from the milk or from the cheese inside the cave, it's mutter, because I don't have to worry about the fact that somebody's going to go and eat from it. Amli Rava. Rava says, I don't understand. It's just the opposite. Lav kolshkenu. Umarach nevela de me'isa. Nevela is moist. People see a dead animal. Feh. The sharisa le'kivasa. Even if somebody were to eat from the cheese inside. Liyasa le'mechamina. Nobody's going to want to eat from the nevela. It wasn't kishachted. Amris loy. You're telling me in the reisha, it's asur to eat. Treifa shchuta. The shoris, if you can allow people to eat from the milk inside the keva, they'll say, yeah, probably it wasn't so treif after all. After all, a shoichet shechted it. And I see Yankel Schmidt is eating from the keva, from the cheese inside. So it probably is kosher. Like koshkin the chamada, we should go and say that it's awesome. And therefore, Elam Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan, same teretz as before, Lekasha Kan, Koinim Chazara, Kan Li'ach Chazara. Our Reish is talking about before Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind in Masechtas Avodah Zarah. And he holds that if you find milk or cheese inside the keva of a nevela, it's aser because it's ashtik nevela. But after that, Rabbi Shmuel disproved him from the case of the oila. Oh, you're right. And then he changed his mind. That the only reason why you're not allowed to go and eat the cheese inside the keva is because I'm worried about egli Avodah Zarah. But if you don't have that concern, then the reason why you can or cannot eat milk inside a keva, you don't worry about that animal, you worry about the source. Where did the milk come from? That's what the Sefer of our Mishnah says. as long as Trefa Yonkam and Hakshaira, then Kivasamu Teres. And if you apply that to Aresha, you'd say the same thing, that you have an Avela, Shiyonkam and Hakshaira, Kivasamu Teres. So why don't we change the Resha? Mishle Zazam Koima, we didn't go and change the Lashon. And you'll speak to Barry after the shir, and I'll tell you because of the Toysis and Mesechus Megillah, because they already had a niggin, and they didn't want to ruin it for the Talmid. Anyway, bottom line, Umr Abchi Bar Abba, Umr Ab Yochanan, Mamidin Bekevas Nevelis, they Makit Mamidin Bekevas Shchitas Oivet Kichov. If you went and bought keva, meaning the cheese that was formed and coagulated in a nevela, you're allowed to eat from that. You're allowed to even make it l'chatchila inside the keva and eat from it. However, but not if a guy went and shechted this animal. And the obvious question is, what's the difference? Keva of a nevela means it's a nevela meat that it was not geshechten. The shechita of v'chavim is worthless. It's as if it's a nevela, it's not geshechten. Why are you telling me that keva's nevelis is mutter, but the keva of shechitas oivik chavim is asur? Doesn't make sense. So I'm like, Shimon bar Abba, kiman, maybe you're passing like Reb Lezer. That's the reason why. The reason why we pass by the keva shechitas oivik chavim, not because it's a nevela. Nevela is kosher. Mamid mekev is nevela. The reason why he's saying it's not kosher, because he had in mind when he shechted if I avoid a zara. And so therefore the keva and anything inside the keva, everything is also out of void zara. Is that the reason why you said ein mamidim bekeva shechitas oivik chavim? Amalei the elikaman no fishteitzach. Of course, there's no other reason that I would distinguish between one and the other. It's a double pashit. In the case of shechitas oivik chavim, if I'm concerned that stam machshavas oivik chavim is a far void zara, then this is ashtika void zara, and that's why you're not allowed to go and eat from it. Says the Gemara, he also b'shmul bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mamidim, bein mekevis nevela, bein mekevis shchitas oivik chavim, shloi lochish l'divrei Reb Lezer. We do not worry about Reb Lezer, because our oivik chavim are all a bunch of phonies. None of them really believe in avodah zarah, because they know the avodah zarah is baloney. So then when they are shechting, they're not shechting the avodah zarah. So it's just a shtik nevela, no difference. Halacha l'maisa v'hilchasa, ein mamidin ba'or kevas nevela, you're not allowed to be mamid with the or. In other words, taking off a piece of keva and putting it into milk, aser, ein mamidin. That's what we had in our Mishnah, because maybe it's nois in tam, and if it's nois in tam, it's aser. The Marsha asks, why does the Gemara just say in mamidin ba'ar kevas nevela? It should say in mamidin even ba'ar kevas ksheira, because you have a basar b'cholov issue. Anyway, let's just finish off and you can ask 12 questions. So in mamidin ba'ar kevas nevela, don't take a piece of keva meat and put it into the milk. You're going to cause it to become awesome, because maybe it'll be nice and tan. So you can say, well, maybe it won't be nice and tan. You can't be mevatel Isser lechatchila, so don't put our keva into milk. Avul mamidim mekevas nevela, but you are allowed to create cheese by letting it sit inside a keva's nevela. The enzymes will cause it to coagulate. It's going to become rennet. That's kosher. Or you can also be mamim mekeva shchitas oivdik chavim, because shchitas oivdik chavim is no different than keva's nevela. We are not worried about Reb Lezer that says stam machsheves koi is favoid zara, therefore it's only regular nevela. Milk inside a keva's nevela is kosher. And with that, we stop, Rabbi Isai, and somebody has a question.